Even though it's been gone a couple of years, every time I pass the summer kitchen building there on Cornhusker, I always think of Larry. You know, life is about perspective. You know what I mean? People tell us to keep our perspective, to get a perspective, or even change our perspective. Life is about perspective. It's what shapes how we look at the world. It's our point of view on things. It's where we're coming from. It makes us who we are. But sometimes it really doesn't hurt to get a new perspective on life, or maybe even change our perspective. And maybe that's one of the reasons we read Scripture, to get a new perspective, a better perspective on things. Now, there are many ways to look at the book of Revelation, some pretty far out there, some that have caused church fights for generations. It's a book whose words describe a very specific vision that John had. I like to think of this book as an invitation. It's an invitation for us to change perspective and try on a new point of view. But that's the nature of prophetic vision. And that's what the book of Revelation is. It's a prophetic vision. Not so much to give us a step-by-step roadmap of the future, so much as it invites us to look at our lives, to look at our community, our world, to look at God in a whole new way, to vary the size and the scope and the perspective of our worldview, to think about our lives in new ways. And maybe this particular vision of John, here in chapter 21, more than any other in the book, invites us to step back and look at the world from the perspective of God, from the perspective of eternity, from the perspective of distance, with the camera pulled way far back, with the widest angle lens that's possible. Now, in art, scale and perspective and viewing distance are always important to the art. Impressionists, they paint using a series of colored dots that have to be viewed from a certain minimum distance, where the painting doesn't make any sense at all, right? If you get too close to an impressionist painting, it just looks like a bunch of blobs of color. But step back far enough and you see the genius of Monet. Some forms of art, like Byzantine icons, those classic church icons, they have no sense of perspective at all. And they look very flat and one-dimensional. Now, Da Vinci was a master of using perspective in his art, and that's what gave it life. Dali sometimes used more than one perspective in a single painting. And that kind of makes his unusual art all that much more unusual, because we're not used to more than one perspective. The point is that any work of art is an invitation to us, from the artist, to step inside and see their unique perspective on the world. And that's what John is all about here in this 21st chapter of Revelation, inviting us to see our lives and our world from a new perspective. Now, in his vision of the Holy City, the New Jerusalem, that he had the privilege of seeing, the old Jerusalem, the old world had passed away and the new had come. God, in redeeming all of creation, just as Paul tells us God is doing in his letter to Romans, has brought about this new Eden. Sort of like a time warp in which the beginning and the end of human history just kind of meet there. But unlike the original Eden, this new Eden, or new heaven and new earth, is a beautiful city where the sun never sets, where the trees are for healing, where the crystal river gives living water to all of God's people. Kind of sounds like a hymn, doesn't it? In this holy city, this new Jerusalem, God is with God's people, living right there in their midst, and pain and suffering and death and grief and hunger and war and disease and fear and hatred and anger and all of those things that plague us here in this old city of our lives, the old Jerusalem, have passed away. They're no more. And those are things that we will not miss. This vision of the New Jerusalem, the glimpse we get that we're given the chance to glimpse. It's stunningly beautiful. So beautiful that it makes you want to cry, doesn't it? Literally. Because we've all been victims of what is still in this creation, what will pass away in the next. We've been victims of pain and illness and death, and we will continue to be. We will cry tears that still need to be wiped away. Stunningly beautiful. Too beautiful to almost look at for too long. A God's eye view of our history is not something we can stand for too long. And after a point, you need to change lenses and change perspective and return to our old point of view. Because we're just not meant to see our lives in the whole gigantic scope of human history. Not from the outside. For better or worse, we were made to see and to live life from the inside, from close up, from the midst of things. We were created to see and to live life like we're an intimate part of it, fully involved and engaged with everything around us. Not a spectator, but a player. That's our perspective on life. That's the human eye view of this world, of our lives, up close and personal. Not at all like a God's eye view, a point of view, a perspective where we can see every brushstroke, where we can feel every pain, where we bear every loss and carry every burden. Sometimes it makes you want to go back to God's point of view, doesn't it? From the distance of time, from the point of view of eternity, from living inside the new creation, the new Jerusalem, it's safer and less painful and not so heartbreaking to be there instead of here. But here's the truth about our lives. We live somewhere in that gap between, as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And you know what? That gap is not always the nicest place to be. But it's our place, and it's our time to live together. It's all about perspective. God's perspective, our perspective, a new perspective. It's about shifting our lenses and changing our focus. It's about taking a moment to get the wide-angle lens out and see our lives and our world from the perspective of eternity, from the perspective of the saints and the faith who have gone before us. We need that vision. We need that big picture every now and then before we hold our nose and plunge right back into the pool and back into our world and our average, ordinary, business-as-usual lives. At a luncheon I went to a few weeks ago, hosted by the Bellevue Ministerium, the superintendent of schools addressed us. Now, currently there are about 300 Bellevue Public School students who have had their lives upended by the flooding here in our town. And the district is doing as much as it can to support and assist and bus and provide the necessary services through the end of the school year for them. Some are bused in from as far as Council Bluffs on a daily basis to finish school. And this zip code that the church is in, 68005, I've said this before, is the poorest zip code in Sarpy County. And there are many people, our neighbors, who don't have enough to eat or are not able to provide for all the needs of them and their families. And the recent flooding here in our town has made that problem even worse. Many of Bellevue's poorer families lived here in the Paradise Lakes and Green Acres area until this last couple of months. Now, many of them are even further victimized by a ruthless landlord, all I'll say on the matter. That's adding insult to injury. Those displaced families are finding that lower income housing is not available in Bellevue. The few places that there were have filled up, and for several of those families, they will have no choice but to begin life again in a different place. And those that have found housing have needed to come up with deposits and new contracts and fees with utility companies and housing options that may not include their pets. That's the new norm for people right now. And the food pantry here in Bellevue, even though it has good donations of food and money, the need gets bigger every year. I found out that they will disperse roughly $120,000 in food vouchers, not counting the food, as well as countless tons of food. In addition, there are two mobile food pantries, if you didn't know, in the city of Bellevue at different locations every month, some hosted by the public schools, some organizations, sometimes churches. And those events draw hundreds of people each time. Bellevue Together, that I hope you're all familiar with, we have worked with and partnered with for some years now, haircuts and clothing and school supplies in the summer, Thanksgiving and Christmas boxes, presents and clothes and shoes for Christmas. You know, if you start to poke around right here, right under our noses, in our own backyard, you'll begin to discover that maybe the neighborhood that you once knew, you don't know at all. You just need to change your perspective to see it. So who is our neighbor? What are their needs? How do we connect with them? You know, if you zoom in for a moment to this area right here, you'll see that our world has changed and gone in a different direction. Those changes, you know, they come about so subtly sometimes that you never notice the shift until one day your neighborhood is very different and maybe looking a little worse for the wear than you remember. Then again, sometimes things change so suddenly in the blink of an eye, like a flood or other disaster that quickly and permanently changes lives forever. And that's where our community is right now, thrown into sudden change with the future unsecure. That's the problem with looking at the world from too far away or too far of a distance. Things look fine from a distance. Isn't that the way things look through your bathroom mirror, right? If you want to look really good, here's a little trick, folks. If you want to look really good, step about 6-7 feet back from the mirror and look. And you know, you don't look so bad, right? But then you kind of mosey on up to that mirror, you know, and maybe you don't look as good as you thought you did from a distance. See, the home of God is among mortals, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God will be with them, and will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. That's what we do. We help God wipe away tears. We help God ease grief. We help God change this world. We make God real and present for other people, even and especially in the midst of that first creation, as John would say. The first creation where there is pain and tears and suffering. We people of faith are called to step into that gap between the old and the new and bridge that pain of almost but not yet for the kingdom of God to come in its fullness. So how do we as a church wipe away tears? This is how we've been seeking to serve our neighbors over the year. Through our work with Bellevue Together, the food pantry, Crossroads Connections, Open Door Mission, donations of food and clothing and Christmas gifts and food boxes, through making and serving food to those in need, by washing clothes for our flooded neighbors, by providing a quality, and I mean quality, and affordable VBS experience for the children in this area. I could go on and on, but you get the point. In so many ways, and you need to hear this sometimes, in so many ways, we are working with our hearts and with our hands to help make that vision, that new heaven and that new earth, a reality. That's something you need to hear and know and give thanks for. And remember that what you do, no matter how little it may seem, every dollar that you give, every batch of cookies or salad that you make, yes, even the infamous First Pres corn salad that we have to have at every event. Every single thing you do, no matter how little it may look, makes a huge difference in filling that gap between the old and the new, between the give us this day our daily bread and the thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That is your place. You have done it well. Keep doing it. Amen.